Australia on the Triple M Network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
Paul is online. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. What's on your mind?
I've just got something to add with the teachers that are, like with what's happening within Australia. I've actually done my degree in teaching and I was actually a student teacher for a while. And one of the things that one of the reasons I got out of teaching is because of the security that there is for the teachers.
There you are.
I had students throw desks, throw chairs and everything else, and we weren't allowed to do anything about it. We just had to basically report it to the principal, and then the students were taken off and they went to psychologists and psychiatrists and everything else, and then they'd do it again the next week. And we weren't able to do absolutely anything for it. So there's a lot of male teachers out there that are getting out of the industry because there's just no security in it for them, and we can't do anything.
So just say that again. You had chairs and tables thrown at you?
Yep.
And were those students who were throwing the chairs and tables, were they expelled?
No.
What discipline?
No.
What discipline?
Nothing. Basically because they'd had a bad life, like every other person in history, they were taken aside and they saw a psychologist or a psychiatrist. They went for a meeting if they rocked up to it. And basically, that was it. One of the students threw a chair and I wasn't able to do anything. And I was told by the principal that he just tell him to walk out of the room. He can go to the timeout room and do what he likes. He can walk in and out of class and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm just to let him go.
Unbelievable. So in your opinion, there's very little protection for teachers in our school system.
There is absolutely no protection for teachers in our school system. My mother's a teacher. My sister's a teacher. I was going to become a teacher, but after what I saw just in doing, you know, my student teaching, and I did 6 months, and it was just, yeah, I was not going to put my family and myself through that. And because the government will not back a teacher at all, you're immediately, you know, guilty no matter what you do. Because they're all minors, and because they're all minors, you're not allowed to chastise them, you're not allowed to do absolutely anything. One of the students I actually stood up to, he was one of the bullies in school, and I got taken aside by the HOD, who's the head of department, and I got shown his file where his king hit student teachers, his king hit, you know, teachers that have come in, you know, because, forget the wording, but when somebody's sick, relief teachers, has stood up to teachers in the playground and everywhere else. He's got a history of violence. And the HOD turned around to me and said, you were game standing up to him. We wouldn't even look at it. And there's nothing you can do. All it does is go down on their file and that's as far as it goes.
Okay, let's open this a little wider. There'll be people, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, Paul, because I think that's appalling. No one in any workplace would be expected to put up with that. And this is, you're an educator. You're trying to help these kids. It wouldn't be tolerated anywhere else. But let's open it a bit wider. What do you say to people who would say, look, this boy, let's pick the one that you stood up to that had a record as long as your arm.
Yep.
What would you
say?
By
the way, just before you go any further, the boy that I stood up for, the following day in the playground, I asked one of the students to pick something up, and he came up to the student because the student backchatted me, and he came up to the student and said, Paul told you to do something, now do it. He actually got respect for me because I stood up for him, and that's the biggest problem in schools nowadays is teachers are not willing to stand up because they're not being supported. And because they're not being supported, they won't stand up to the students and the students just run riot.
And so the ball just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling.
Yep.
You don't stand up, you get no respect, then therefore, because you have no respect, they keep giving it to you.
That's right.
Let me ask you this. What do you say to the people who would look at this boy? And that's interesting that you should say he turned around because he respected you because you had the guts to stand up to him. But he's got a history as long as your arm. If he did get expelled, I'm tipping it would be very hard for him to roll in another school, maybe one that's close by to his home. These kids then stand the chance of falling through the cracks and becoming uneducated, correct?
Well, it does, but the when I went through school, I was not a good student. Okay, I was dyslexic. It wasn't found out for years and years afterwards, and I learnt how to learn. So I've got a real passion to teach kids who are having trouble and everything else. These kids that are having trouble, if you expel them, they don't, well, A, you can't really expel them at the moment because the government has the earning or learning process. So because of the earning and learning, they're either in school or they've got a job. If they don't have a good job to go to, the schools are hand-tied because they can't expel them because they've got nothing to go to because of government policies.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've got rules and regulations coming out of our, everywhere. I've got to remember the polite, and we've got rules and regulations coming out everywhere which are being made by people in government who do not understand what the teachers are actually going through. And they're, as you said, they're being made by goody two-shoes who, or, do-gooders who say, oh, you've got to give them a chance and you've got to give them this. Yes, you do have to give them a chance, but there has to be a line which, when they cross it, you have to say, no more. This is it.
Wow. Paul, thank you so much for calling up.
Most welcome.
What's the answer? Is bringing back the cane the answer? That's a stupid question. That's never going to happen.
It's not the answer, but actually having a consequence for an action would be a really good start. And for governments, instead of putting somebody in charge of a portfolio who's never been a teacher, who's never been in a school other than as a student, having them, making decisions for schools is just ludicrous. I wouldn't expect you to go and make decisions for a brain surgeon, but our governments will put somebody in charge of schools who hasn't got a clue of what they're doing. And that's exactly what's happening, and that's exactly why we've got this situation now. Governments need to stop, just making rules and making regulations and go back to the teachers who are actually on the front line and saying, okay, what do you need for you to be feeling safe? I mean, we talk about health and safety, we talk about everything else, and yet it's the last thing on the government's mind when it comes to teaching.
Unbelievable. You would remember this. This was not so long ago. There was a school in Western Sydney, and the teacher of some 20 years' experience was in the classroom, and Mr. Troublemaker, Mr. Smartass Troublemaker, was up the back with a baseball cap on backwards and a hoodie over the top. And he was playing music through a device with his headphones on, feet up on the desk. And the teacher said, take your hat off, take your headphones off, attention to me, I'm here trying to teach you. And the student told that teacher to go and get it. So the teacher said, leave the classroom. The student refused to leave. The teacher went up to grab him by the arm to escort him out, and the student started throwing punches. To defend himself, the teacher then put the student, it was a big boy, in a headlock and took him out of the classroom to remove him from the rest of the students. That teacher was suspended.
Oh, absolutely.
That teacher was suspended.
Yep. We're not allowed to touch a student because they're a minor. We're not allowed to deal with a student. We're not allowed to discipline a student. If you've got two students having a punch-up, you're not allowed to walk over and break it up because, or lay your hands on them to try and separate them because then you are assaulting the student.
So what do you do? You let them punch on.
Well, you've just got to try and yell at them to stop. And, and even then, you can get in trouble for yelling at them because, they can turn around and say, well, you yelled at me you upset me.
Jesus.
I mean, it's just gone too far.
I read, this is some time ago, that in some schools in New South Wales, primary school teachers are not allowed to mark in red pen because red's aggressive.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yep.
Oh.
Look, it comes back to the people in leadership who are making rules and regulations, and they don't have any idea of what's on the front line. They don't have any idea of how hard it is to be a teacher. They don't have any idea of what it takes, you know, and the kind of discipline it takes for the teacher to be able to control a classroom of 25 or 30 students, which you've got, you know, you've only normally got in a classroom. You don't have a class of 25 or 30 students who are all troublemakers, but you may have, you know, three, maybe four that have the potential to be troublemakers. And those three or four have probably five or six followers in that class. Mm. And what you'll find is they'll sit back and do absolutely nothing. Mm. And they'll let the followers actually create the trouble. And then when you're trying to discipline the followers, they're saying, yes, that's good, or no, that's not good. And they're the ones that these students look up to. And unless you can get back to those three that are the troublemakers, that are the ringleaders, there's nothing you can do.
You have been so interesting, Paul. Thank you very, very much for calling. I don't know what the answer is. Have we gone too far the other way? We got rid of the cane. We said it was cruel, but have we gone too far the other way?
I think what we need to do is with students and with teens in general, we need to bring back, not necessarily capital punishment or anything like that.
Corporal punishment. You may wish we could introduce capital punishment, but I'm afraid that's not going to happen.
Yeah, corporal punishment, sorry. but the biggest thing is we need to bring back that there are, you know, there's a line. If they cross it, they're in trouble. There's a consequence to their actions, because you watch any teen out there now, and it's they can do what they like, they can say what they like, and at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do about it, because they all know that they're minors and that they can, you know, get away with it.
Yeah, they know their rights. And how do they know their rights? Because they're taught that. They're a teacher.
Yep.
Paul, once again, thank you so much for being our first call. You take care. Good day, Rob.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Really good. Welcome to the night shift.
Thank you.
Okay, what can
That's
we
do? I wanted to chat about the bullying situation.
Well, yeah.
Luke, yeah, you guys made some pretty valid comments earlier, and I was pretty interested in it, especially the school teacher, and I wasn't aware of the school teachers being bullied by kids.
Well, yeah, what about that teacher, Paul, first caller? He's had tables and chairs thrown at him, and they can do nothing about it. Students, nothing happens.
Yeah, well, there's this interesting thing is I'll get into what we've done recently. We 3 months ago we put a document into the politicians down in Kiama, Gareth Ward.
Who's we?
Myself and I wrote the document. So,
are you a teacher? Are you?
No. I'm an Uber driver, but I have two master degrees, and I got involved with the parents of this girl that suicided at the age of 14, and that was all about the bullying. And she suffered bullying at a particular school. I won't mention any names because it's a delicate subject and something that they should be talking to you about, not me. But so from there on in, we over the years have tried to make changes in the school, and they've gone down and wanted to talk to kids about bullying and the importance of bullying and stuff. But we eventually come up with a plan. About a 4-point plan how to try and stop bullies from being bullies. And I think one of the things that you would be really interested to hear, Luke, is that bullies, when a bully bullies another person at school, it's generally the person that's getting bullied that gets isolated. Obviously, you know, like the other gentleman before was saying that there's three or four kids that have been pushed by one bully, or one, two bullies are pushing five or six kids to do all the damage, whatnot. But when a child gets bullied, they actually get isolated because, you know, they're the minority, and two, they're too scared, and they're maybe suffering mental health issues as well. So they basically get isolated from the rest of the school, and then they get picked on. And what we've picked up on is the fact that when someone is identified as being a bully, then they should be isolated. And we come up with a plan of a 6-week psychology course where they have to go through an anti-bullying course. And they can't get on the school bus anymore. They have to be driven to school, and at lunchtime they can't go out and play with the other kids.
Now tell me this, Rob. You said you're an Uber driver, but you've got a couple of degrees, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. How are you an expert on bullying? Tell me how you got involved with this.
Well, we're not certainly not an expert, I don't think, Luke. But because for the last 2 years we've been involved in bullying and trying to make changes and doing a lot of stuff. I've done a lot of research as well. You'd be probably very interested to hear that the number one killer of teenagers in Australia is suicide. And I don't think that's publicised enough in our community. It's very sad, and kids as young as 13 attempting to kill themselves. We are 25% higher than the US when it comes to youth suicide. So, I come up with a plan, to try and curb it. And I guess to go into where I really initially started, I have a sister that attempted suicide many times. She's not a school student. She's older than I am. And she's attempted 7 times and been actually dead twice and brought back. And she's actually making a fantastic recovery now, Luke. She's doing really well. The psychologists have really worked for her, and she's now a proud grandma of a little 2-year-old boy called Lachlan. And man, she is on fire, mate. She is so changed now, and there's something to live for. And I guess when I first met these people that lost their daughter, I read this article on the internet, Luke, and it just shook me to the core. And because my sister and I had some other people that were in my life that were depressed, I just thought I would try and do something constructive. Try. And, you know, I'm no expert, but, you know, we had this 4-point plan where, you know, what I think we've submitted to, and I did speak to the parents that I handed it to the politicians. I gave it to them. I didn't want to be on the TV or anything. You know, I was just doing it to try and stop it, you know, and to try and help kids. I was really shocked to know that the number one killer of teenagers is suicide. I just was blown away.
Yeah, well, I have known that for some time. Incidentally, 13, 11, 14 is Lifeline. It's free and it's there 24 hours. Just getting back to bullying, in the research that you've done, are bullies bad people?
Mate, you know, the thing with bullies is they've been bullied. You know, I can give you some statistics, but I'm just driving my car, you know, and if I had my stuff in front of me that I wrote, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, statistics of bullies that have been bullied, that bullied other people, are actually higher to commit suicide to. So they're getting bullied by perhaps their environment. Let's just talk about their environment, out of school, or maybe even it is the school. You know what I mean? I would more than likely say they're even being bullied at home, or their family is letting them get involved in an environment where there's violence and bad things are happening. And the thing is, another interesting article, Luke, is they haven't really figured it out yet, but for children, right, to get bullied, it has a completely different effect on a child than what it does, what bullying does on an adult. Now, as you can see, you know, you would know if you've been sort of, well, you would understand because you listen to a lot of news, Luke, and you've got a lot of information that you pass out of your radio station every week. I listen to you all the time. But, you know, like adults, there's not many teachers killing themselves because they've been bullied by a student. But the kids that get bullied, for some reason, Luke, it's like a catastrophic event for them. And they're now saying that to be bullied at school or to be bullied as a child is that the traumatic experience is as heavy as being sexually abused. And you know what the trauma that... some other interesting facts, they're all sort of coming to my head now because I haven't read this thing for a while. Some other interesting facts, Luke, is the fact that once a kid is bullied, they will suffer the effects of bullying for up to 10 years. So if they've been bullied from the age of 14 onwards, they can be suffering the effects of bullying up to the age of 24, and if they got bullied till they were 17, to the age of 27, right? Up to 10 years afterwards, they still are affected, heavily traumatized by the fact that they were bullied. And the most interesting fact is 75% of suicides in Australia are people under 28.
Wow. What's going on? Just getting back to that teacher, Paul, who rang up. He's telling us that he has witnessed students attack him. He's had chairs thrown at him, tables thrown at him, and students are untouchable, that no one gets expelled. And there's very little protection for teachers at school. Where have we gone wrong? When we did away with the cane at school, were we giving up more than we thought?
Yeah, well, you know, I've always said that, you know. I've always said that once they put discipline out the window, then, you know, that's when things started to go wrong. You know, we can't bring that back. I guess we've all got to push forward from that. We can't bring that back, but we must learn how to discipline these children, because by letting them get out of control, it means that teachers, good teachers like that gentleman that just rung up, are not going to be in the system anymore. And, you know, and like you said, he had dyslexia, and he was, you know, he really had a passion to teach kids that were struggling. Like, what better person to be in the industry than him? So if teachers are getting bullied, you know, they need to put a plan in place to help these kids. Now, when you're saying back, a bully's bad kids, you know, yeah, they're bad kids because they're bullying, but they're bad because it's like learned behaviour. They're just repeating what's happening to them. And probably 7 out of 10 are repeating what's happened to them, and there's probably 3 that are bad kids. You know what I mean? So our plan was, the first thing to do is, instead of isolating the person that's being bullied, which could include a teacher, right, who's too scared to do anything, then you isolate the bully on his own. He's not allowed to interact with anyone at school, but he's still got to go to school. And after school, he's got to go and do education in the way of anti-bullying behaviour, a 6-week course, which can be accessed through the government through your local doctor. You're allowed up to, I think it's 12 visits or 10 visits to a doctor, and it's all covered by Medicare. They've got to do that with their parents, and the parents have got to go to these counselling sessions with the children, because
that's if the parents care.
Well, if they don't, well, then the kid goes to level 2. And level 2 is more restrictions and more problems for the parent. So what we're trying to do is we're bringing the parents in, because there is definitely an issue there. Maybe they don't know about it, Luke. Maybe they do know about it. Maybe they've got drug addictions, and maybe this child needs some other kind of help, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. But the psychologist can then get a fair indication of what that child's going through. Then they can relay that back to the school and say, you need to possibly do this kind of treatment, or, hey, there's no hope for this one, let him go, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. But I also understand that we need to provide better protection for our teachers.
Sure.
You can't, if you've got a teacher like Paul, who, because of learning difficulties, he had dyslexia, he said, and he takes education really seriously, he needs to be encouraged and protected. And he's not. And he's just not. Rob, you've been quite interesting. Thank you for calling up.
No worries.
Okay, and hopefully you'll stay listening.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Thanks for your call. Very interesting. Barney's in Bendigo in Victoria. G'day, Barney.
How you going?
Good, thank you. Thanks for waiting on.
No worries. I've got a partner who was stabbed at school as a teacher.
Really?
So, yeah. A problem student. She was at a special school. Mm-hmm. She was a problem student and went off completely off tap. And then my partner was trying to get all the other students out of the classroom and protect them, and yep, got stabbed in the process.
Holy Jesus. According to that previous caller, our first caller of the morning, he was just great, Paul.
Yeah.
He said that teachers... where he is now, he was ringing from the North Coast. I'm not sure what school he was in when he was teaching. Let's assume it was a New South Wales school. He said that when two kids are fighting each other, belting each other, teachers are not allowed to physically intervene. They can yell, but might even get into trouble for yelling.
Where have we gone? I know at this school there was a teacher standing next to two students. One was lying on the ground, the other one was kicking them in the head, and they weren't allowed to touch them.
but one of the teachers said he's got a duty of care for the person getting kicked in the head and didn't care about the rules and separated them.
Where have we gone? What's happened?
And he was reprimanded for that.
What's happened?
So, yeah, it's respect, lack of respect. People think that kids at special schools are dumb. They're not dumb. They know their rights. They know rules. I also know of a couple of students which were involved in molesting another child. And when the court case was on, the teachers were allowed to say, you have to watch these two kids because of things that have happened, allegedly. And as soon as the court case was finished, which they were found not to be of sound mind to know what they're doing, they weren't allowed to tell any other teachers to watch them going into toilets or anything like that, that they weren't allowed to pass on that information because of the rights of these children. And it's ridiculous. And my partner was on WorkCover, got forced back into work way too early, and within 12 months, there was another extreme blow-up, and she was put back into the same classroom, same building that this happened in, and a massive steel bar got thrown through the window, and another one went up. So,
yeah.
So she's now not to go back to any special schools, but she's still working through it, and she cares for people. She's been in it for, like, 15 years teaching special kids, and there's, you know, no real support, get back to work, I don't really care. And, the teachers are out on a limb.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I think we've come too far. You know, political correctness, giving kids rewards when they don't really deserve them. And now we hear through this teacher, Paul, that he's had students throw chairs and tables at him and nothing's been done.
Exactly. And these kids were removed from the actual school, but they have to get taught somewhere else off campus.
And if they do get expelled, chances are they'll just fall through the cracks. And then what happens?
Right. But the thing is, these kids, they can't expel them because there's nowhere else to go once you leave the special school. Where do you send them?
Where do you send them? Is your partner still teaching?
Yes. Different school now, but she's got back part-time. And she's getting there, but then when she has to go to some of these appointments, some of the people she has to see just brings it all back, and it's, you know, two steps forward, three steps back.
Wow. Listen, thanks for your call, Barney.
All right, no worries.
Okay. Take it easy, mate.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Barney calling from Bendigo there. G'day, Warren.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. What did you want to talk about this morning?
Mate, two things. I just, the last few callers with the discipline and the school teachers being responsible for it, I sort of disagree with that a little bit. Discipline starts at home, and the parents should be reasonably responsible for the kids to be fair at school, or, you know, show some respect at school. But that's, I think it all falls down a fair bit at home before it, you know, falls apart at the school for a lot of kids. Even my eldest son's now 34. When he was 15, he got picked in the side to go to New Zealand to play rugby. And I said to him, you get in trouble one more time at school and you won't be going.
Yes.
And we only had to pay a small amount of money for him to go. It was only like $200. They had 10 days in New Zealand playing rugby.
Oh, it would have been great.
Mate, it would have been fantastic for him if he didn't get in the stripe at school. So what happened about a week before he was due to go? He got in stripe. The principal called me up there and I just said, well, that's a shame. I'm going to go.
Oh, no, don't drop out, Warren. Stay with me.
Yep, yes. Oh, you're still there?
Yep.
Yeah, no, so what happened then was that he got caught, so I just said to him, well, that's it, going to New Zealand out. And I stuck by it all the way, and I never let him go. And now he's 34, he still recalls the story. But, you know, that was just to show some respect for the teachers to make sure that he didn't continue to, yeah, muck up a bit at school and cause trouble, but nothing like what these other people are talking about.
Well done. He's now 34, so it was a while ago, but well done. And that's exactly what my parents did. They would, taking away my sport was the worst punishment, the worst. The cane meant nothing. It was over and done with. But taking away my sport, not allowing me to play basketball or soccer, taking that away, that is what really connected with me.
Yeah.
I look at Michael Smith and Dave Warner, the cricketers, who were given a 12-month ban. And just for me, not allowing them to play cricket, this should have been an ICC decision, not allowing them to play cricket at all would have been a punishment. They're still allowed to play cricket and they're getting paid very, very handsomely for it. What example does that show?
That's right. So that's the thing, and that's where all this be good thing is, you know, do good and take care. I believe we're in some ways, but like for the level of, that they're at, I think the discipline should have been greater. But yeah, that's in my opinion. I'm only one person. So.
Tell me, when you said to your son you're not going to New Zealand to play football, did he crack up? Did he go off?
He went to, and I just said to him, you go off, you won't be, well, I was his football coach at the time as well. And I said to him, well, you keep going on, you won't be playing football for the rest of the year either. So,
would you have stuck by that?
Certainly would.
Do you know, it's another topic, but I want to talk about it. You did what every parent has to do. You stuck by your guns. You made a threat. He tested you. And you came through. And now at the age of 34, he still remembers it and is a great kid. The best lesson your parents ever taught you. Give us a call. Tell us. 133353 is the telephone number. Excellent stuff, Warren.
Oh, mate, the other thing you were talking about was the when you go, you know, like the customer service people that get back to you. Or they don't get back to you, whatever. Well, like I spoke to you before, I built the house and I'm a builder. We're trying to get the power connected under this new system and come out at Christmas or just at Christmas time somewhere. You've got to lodge applications and stuff. Well, we lodged an application on the 21st of June to get power connected. And for some reason it got cancelled. Now we've had to lodge another application. That takes 30 days.
Yeah.
They tell me that you've got to allow 30 days to get the power taken off a power pole at the front of a house to be connected to the house. Because they've got to give notification. So what, they're going to notify an empty house that the power is going to be cut for the 10 minutes it takes them to swap the meter over. So I then contacted Origin Energy and contacted their accelerations team, was what I was put to after about 2 weeks. And I had a date of the 30th, which is tomorrow or today, for the power to be connected to the house, which is 2 months after we made application. So we couldn't then get the air conditioning. Yeah, 2 months. Ridiculous.
2 months. Unbelievable. It's 2018. 133353. Yeah, we're talking about customer service. The guy said, I'll see what I can do about getting the bloke to come to my house today between 9 and 12. I don't like my chances.
No, shouldn't I? But what's happened with this, like 3 weeks ago, I'll get put onto this acceleration team for Origin Energy, and they're going to get back to me in 48 hours. Tell me, you know, what they can do to help me with this problem, because it was just a paperwork mishap between the two companies. I got an email on Friday to say they couldn't do nothing. The power's getting connected today under 60 days of or 2 months of paperwork. So it took them 3 weeks to get back to me, and every time you rang them, it was not this person's department, and they didn't really care about it, you know, what they were talking about. The whole lot, it was just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. All right, well, good luck.
All right, mate, thanks for that.
Thank you, Warren. And folks, a couple of lines have opened up. 133353. Give us a call. Plenty to talk about. The best lesson your parents ever taught you. There's Warren standing by his guns. His boy's playing up. He said, mate, you play up again and you will not be going on this football trip to New Zealand. He played up a week before. You heard him. And he said, okay, you're not going. He stood by his ground. Followed through. That's where I think most parents go wrong. They make threats and then you test them and they cave. Bang. Respect gone. Discipline out the window. What do you make of it? 133353. G'day, Chris.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good. You can shed some light on this air conditioning drama, can you?
Yeah, I can. I'm a qualified air conditioning technician in Sydney, so I have a friend in Queensland who rang me to ask why her air conditioning isn't working. It's pretty hard to do when she's based in Hervey Bay. Now, she had an air conditioner installed by an electrician who had supposed to have done this two-day course.
Yep.
Now, these guys are qualified to install split-system air conditioners, but not qualified to repair. So he hasn't installed it properly, and now the gas is all leaked out. He is not qualified to repair it. So for her to get this air conditioner working, now she's on a pension, she can't afford to, technically she's paying twice for the installation. She's got to get a qualified air conditioning technician to come along, reinstall it, and re-put the gas in it. Now, you know, in our environment, we're trying to minimise the amount of gas that gets put out into the environment for greenhouse gases and all of that sort of stuff. And these guys are just doing chonky work.
So you're not impressed with them either. So they do a two-day course, they can install it, but they can't fix it. Do you think these rules, when did they come in?
I actually wasn't aware of it till, like, she rang me, and then I heard that caller ring you just earlier.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some homework. Jason needs to write to me and give me something in writing, and then I can act on it. But if Jason's concerned that the work is dangerous.
Well, it is, because the new gas is supposedly more environmentally safe, but the gases are actually at higher pressure than what they used to be probably 20 years ago. So, I mean, with the new gases, you've got to get all the air conditioning technicians have to get new tools. They have to get torque wrenches to do up the flare nuts on the piping to make sure that they're at the right torque. So with all the new gases that came in, all the air conditioning technicians had to buy all their new tools to be able to work on these gases as well.
Oh, look, you're talking technical stuff. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But I'll take your word for it. But let me do some homework, and we'll look into it. Because, I mean, if this is like the pink bats, you know.
100%.
If this is like the pink bats, you know, we had innocent people, you know, dying because work wasn't done properly. But these people are qualified sparkies that are doing this two-day course, Jason was saying.
Yep.
So they must know something.
Well, see, in the I'm actually a qualified fitter and machinist, and I did the two-year, three nights a week at TAFE journeyman's course. So what happens is, because it's all modular, I've more or less done most of the modules for the air conditioning course anyway. So the two years, 3 nights a week were to add on to those modules that weren't covered in the fitting machining course. And you had to be working with qualified air conditioning companies to be able to do the course.
Well, hopefully, Jason, and look, if there are any other sparkies out there, air conditioning specialists that know about this, you do a two-day course, and any sparky can then install air conditioning systems, and Jason's concern was it wasn't being done well, safely. That's a concern. So let me do some further work on it, and we'll keep you informed.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate it, Chris. Thanks. You have a good day.
You too, bud.
I noticed that in the Daily Telegraph today, Annabel Hennessy has written a disturbing story about deadly zombie knives, weapons that are banned in the UK being sold in Australia without the buyer's age or identity being checked properly. Apparently, the Daily Telegraph was able to buy 2 Z Hunter zombie knives, including a 60-centimetre stainless steel machete online, without having to provide any identification. Now, I had no idea what a zombie knife was until I saw a photo of it. They're weapons that have been inspired by horror films and include machetes, axes, and hunting daggers. They often feature green splatter, the Z marking, and serrated edges. The knives were sent from Melbourne via Australia Post without any red flags raised at all. You can go online and buy these weapons that are banned in the UK. You can buy them online here in Australia without providing any identification. Keanu, is it?
Yep, that's me.
Good morning.
I'm just wanted to talk about those Z knives and the concern you had about those.
Well, I'm an ignorant old thing. I didn't know what a zombie knife was until I saw the story. Now I do.
Basically, I don't know if you're aware, but England has probably the strictest knife laws in the world.
Yeah.
civilized. The knives, yeah, they look fearsome, yeah, but I wouldn't classify them as a weapon. I come from a security background, slash enjoy.
They look pretty aggressive.
Chef. Yeah, but a 20-centimeter chef knife will do more damage.
Well, yeah. You can buy these weapons online without proving any identification.
You can also purchase in WA pepper spray without much hassle.
Can you?
And I find pepper spray would probably do more damage than a small blade that's 3 inches long.
Mm.
Not to mention, I guess the problem with the problem with Australia is that the government loves to make everything seem a lot more dangerous than what it really is. I've actually been attacked personally with a mop handle and came off second best, and I carry a steel baton with a few of my sights, and I came off second best. Now, we're talking about a piece of wood that's a metre long versus a carbonised steel baton with a ball bearing on the end of it.
Really?
So,
well, I guess you have a point. Anyone can go into a kitchen shop and buy a chef's knife.
My, for prime example, my sister, she's just turned 18, but a few years ago I had a knee injury. I couldn't go into because I was studying to do going to become a chef. I got her to go in and get my chef knife for me. She was 14 at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do have like 18 signs and stuff, but it's up to the attendant whether or not they check or not. So I guess it's up, like, really, in the grand scheme of things, it's the buyer's responsibility. Like, if they're going to be, you can't stop a person from being stupid if they're going to be stupid.
Anyway, Zed knives, zombie knives, you can get them online. Is that a big deal? Because as Keanu has said, you can go into any shop, any kitchen shop, and buy a chef's knife. 133353, you can go anywhere and buy a steak knife, can't you? Alex, g'day.
G'day. I'm actually a chef, and
yep.
My wife, for my birthday 1 year, actually bought me one of the Zed knives when I was looking for a machete. And I can tell you that I would prefer a piece of stainless steel. I'd use an angle grinder on myself if I was going to use it as a weapon. They're unwieldy. They're usually not very well designed. And the steel they're made of is usually pretty suspect.
Should there be an age limit as to who can get hold of these things?
Well,
because you can apparently, according to the Telegraph today, you can buy them online, no proof of ID.
The number of items that can be used as a weapon is insane.
Of course.
If you're a history buff and you get hold of, for example, an encyclopedia from the 1900s, you would be amazed at the information in there that should be restricted.
Hey, listen, the long pointy stick is a weapon, isn't it?
It is. The biggest problem we have in this world is the lack of training in respect.
Mm.
Respect, respect, respect. And it's not focused on in any school.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, listen, thanks for your call, Alex.
No worries.
Okay, you take care of yourself, all right?
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is The Night Shift.